Hello and welcome. This is Contemplations and I am Martin Johnson. Today I am with a very special guest of mine, a very brand new, spanking new adult. After last episode, episode 6, when we talked about the exhortation and then how people move from the stage of being a teenager or a young adult into full adulthood, and then all the advice that they get on that transition is food for thought. So today I've asked my good friend and now brother, Lucas Brunson, to sit with me and talk a little bit about his experience in making that transition, and then primarily how it's gone so far, things that have gone well, not so well, and then I'll ask him some questions to kind of walk him through that reflection. So Lucas, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Yes, and congratulations again on graduation from high school and then moving into college. That's quite a step, and I'm happy to witness it myself. I'm getting very old, I realize it. So anyway, Lucas, thank you for coming on, as well as looking at the or reviewing the last episode and then giving me your thoughts on that. But that being said, let me jump right into it and ask you, what have you been hearing from people, advice-wise? What have they been telling you about how you prepare for the next step?
I think from a lot of people that aren't family and maybe in our closer circle, a lot of them are saying it's okay to make mistakes early and things like that because you have a lot of time to find out what you want to do. But I think it's also different from what my family is telling me, because they'd rather that I don't make mistakes.
That makes sense. So, which one are you going to go with?
Well, I'll do my best not to make mistakes, but if a few roadblocks come, then I'll know it's just kind of part of the process.
Yeah. Besides those closest to you, generally speaking, you've gone through the teenage years. What have you gathered from different sources, movies, music, influencers? What are they telling you about how to approach adult life?
Well, from, what I, watch and, what I listen to, it's more saying, you kind of get out what you put in.
Okay.
A lot of it is kind of, just a reminder to be focused and you're capable of doing anything that you put your mind to, but of course there's a level of focus and work that is needed depending on what you put your mind to.
Okay. What about what not to do?
From social media, it kind of just tells you do whatever, you'll find what's right for you, but some people that I follow on Instagram and stuff,
right,
they definitely try to steer on a more right path of staying away from things that just prohibit you from being in the right state of mind, or kind of things that could get you into trouble.
Okay.
And they're not necessary things.
Okay. That's a good point, this idea of getting into trouble. In the last 5 or 10 years, there's been this big push or move in maybe the population about that there are some kinds of trouble worth getting into because it makes things better. You guys have gone through the COVID period. Things that happened, the whole thing with George Floyd, and then a general feeling that things could be better, but it may take some agitation or breaking the rules that are established to make change happen. Where do you land on that? Is it, how do you approach the idea that if a change is to be made, that it may require doing something different or going against what is established? Is that something that you have thought about, or your group in conversations?
I mean, not necessarily like scenarios have come up really, like if this happened, what would you do? But I think for me, I would just think about like the risk to reward like ratio.
Okay.
So if like a necessary risk kind of needs to be taken for something to change that I feel is very important, then I think the reward can outweigh the risk, and then it's then it'd be worthwhile to like take the risk.
In your people you follow, or films or books that you might have gotten into, is there an example of an individual you have seen who has, you know, gone against everything that they've been told because they thought they were going in the right direction? And how did that work out for the person? Positive, negatively? Do you have examples of those kind of situations?
Yeah, so I know a lot of like the athletes that I follow, like,
oh yeah,
yeah, they have always had like unrealistic goals and like dreams like that. But yeah, I guess like they were always warned and things like that. But recently I've been seeing this like theme of like delusion with like successful people. Like they have a healthy amount of like delusion that their hard work will pay off.
Okay.
So instead of being confined to like what they may see happen to other people or like failure, they're able to kind of stay in like a minor state of like delusion that their hard work and their efforts will end up being fruitful.
So how do you know when it's truly a delusion and you're going way beyond what's reasonable? Is that a possibility that you may actually literally delude yourself and put yourself in a bad situation? How would you guard against that?
Yeah, I think there's definitely that possibility. But I think that in like the proper state of believing that you're capable of your goals, I think there's checkpoints along the way.
Okay.
That can, like, once you reach a certain milestone, then you'll know that like your work is working. And but I feel like if you're in a state of like too great delusion, that you're just kind of throwing everything into something that's not very fruitful, I feel like you won't reach some of those checkpoints that kind of like get, like assure you that you're on the right path.
That's actually pretty good advice. So how would you establish a set of checkpoints? Are you talking to a mentor or you make your own? Or how do you figure out those checkpoints and what they should be?
Well, from the perspective of an athlete, I think those checkpoints could kind of be like just like playing for better teams.
Okay.
Or being, I guess, like scouted by like better coaches and having like better opportunities to play at higher levels. And I think it's also similar for maybe work.
Okay.
Like if you believe you'll be very successful in a field, I think there are some smaller milestones like getting promotions or meeting certain sales targets that can kind of show that you're on the right track.
Okay. Okay. So again, back to the people you've mentioned following the athletes. Are they those who have not made it but kept chasing it? And then do you have examples of those? Like, how do you know even you're like us as individuals are going too far off in a certain direction? People are advising us not to pursue a thing, but the dream is alive within you and you really want to make it happen. How do you know when to come up to the off ramp and do something else? I mean, have you seen people who have not done that and then ended up, how did it end up? Yeah.
Well, I guess those stories, I feel like those stories are maybe less popular. So I'm not really searching out for those stories, I guess, but yeah, I haven't seen too many that kind of like completely pursue without any plan B.
Okay.
So I'm not exactly sure how they end up. I'm assuming not in like a great place. Yeah.
I'm thinking of a series that was popular on, it was ESPN, called Undrafted.
I've heard of it, I haven't seen it.
Never seen Undrafted? It's about literally those players who left college but didn't get drafted in the professional draft, and then they either went back to college or finished college started working, you know, bagging groceries, doing all kinds of things just to make a living, and then waiting for the next combine. I think in India, actually in Indianapolis, by the Colts, by Lucas Oil, there's a local combine, and they'll come back every year hoping that they can compete and then get a spot. And maybe one or two people might get some notice, but the majority tend to keep chasing it. And I'm not sure if the point of the series is that at some point you have to say, okay, I'm 29, 30 years old, it's not going to happen for me. But can you imagine what it's like to say that your dream is not going to happen? And then have you, again, as I said, in your experience with people that you follow on Instagram or films or books or any stories that you've heard where an individual might have had to make that the very hard choice to move on, is that something that you've come across in what you follow or listen to?
Yeah, so on social media, there's a lot of, I guess, sports influencers.
Sports influencers.
Yeah, so they weren't able to reach, because I know a lot of them, especially the guys, had goals of playing in the NBA,
right,
or playing in like a high level college setting, but unfortunately they weren't able to make some of those things happen. So in their pursuit of those things, they kind of switched to being like an influencer, so posting basketball content.
Oh.
But they weren't able to play at the level they dreamed of.
Okay, so is that like a career for them now, or just something to do on the side? Yeah.
No, like it's like a main career. Like I guess I only know of like a smaller like group, but I know like they make the content of basketball their whole like career. I mean, they're very successful at it.
Wow. Okay, so followers and like an
account. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So even if you're not doing, so I'm imagining that even if your dream isn't exactly what you thought it would be, you can still shape it.
Yeah.
To still be meaningful to you, but it might look different. That's actually a pretty good perspective. I remember even myself, things I wanted to do when I was 30 or years or 40 years old, they're still in my head, but I probably do them differently now than I thought I would have when I was much younger, but I'm still doing them. So maybe the idea is that the dream is still there, but you have to shape it to fit your circumstances. Okay, I like that. In terms of people who have influenced you, I mean, I'm sure we have like relatives or close family, teachers, coaches, people in the media. Can you think of people who have most influenced you about how you look at the world today?
I think in terms of like my worldview.
Yeah. Like how you approach the world. Or how you will approach the world going now as an adult. Which advice is ringing in your ear as you go forward?
I think like what my grandpa tells me.
Oh.
It sticks with me very well.
Why is that?
I mean, he always like repeats his stories.
Oh.
So he has like, I mean, it seems like every few years, like there's something new or something he hasn't said in a long time. But I think just like the amount of repetition just kind of helps me like understand like what he's saying and where he's coming from, and helps me relate to what he says like very well.
Did you maybe have experienced this? Because you make a good point. The idea of the same stories over and over and over again. And then when you were younger, does the story mean something different now as you're older? Does the meaning change, or does the impact of the story change over time as you've gotten older? Can you think about that? Like when you're younger, you heard the story, you heard one dimension. And then as you got older and had more experience, that story meant something different as you got older. Is there one of those stories that you could share?
Yeah. So I think one that my grandpa liked to say is one of his younger brothers, Uncle Buddy. He is only a year and a half younger than my grandpa. So they were always close growing up around the same like age and similar interests, I think. But he told me that they would always like fight back in the day over a lot of things. And when I was younger, I guess I was someone in that stage with my brother as well.
Okay.
Like, we would always, like, fight and sometimes get aggressive over, like, smaller things. But my grandpa had been on the other side of that for a long time, and my brother and I have been coming around that as well.
Okay.
Like, kind of, our arguments don't really turn into fights or anything anymore.
Oh.
It's just kind of, it just comes kind of like acceptance of the other person's opinion. So.
Okay. So was that what he meant when he told you the story initially, that you guys are going to be okay?
Yeah, I think so, because Uncle Buddy is definitely one of my grandpa's like better friends. Like, he's my grandpa, like, whenever I'd call him and ask what he's doing, sometimes he's driving out to Uncle Buddy's house to go
okay
shooting or something over there, and I know that they become really good friends.
I guess that's helped. That's good to know that the person that you struggle most with knows you the best as well, and then you have all these common memories that over time, that's the person you go back to anyway. So that's beautiful. Books are something that I found interesting, because I'm realizing more and more as people go through school today, books seem to be less impactful than media, like electronic media, social media, TV, etc. As you went through high school, I imagine that you did literature and those kind of English type classes. Are there any books that profoundly change how you look at things or give another view of the world?
So I guess I'll be honest, I didn't necessarily read a lot of the books that we were assigned to read. I would look up summaries and things like that, but there were a few books sophomore year that I really liked. I liked To Kill a Mockingbird, and yeah, we also read The Scarlet Letter.
Okay.
And I really liked those books because I guess the authors really tried to give a view of a lot of people, so you could see their struggles and I think tried to understand them, and at the same time you still were able to kind of pick a side to be on as well.
Okay. So actually, I find it pretty funny that everyone looks up the summaries nowadays instead of reading the whole book. Or as I see my own kids working on exam preparation, they go to YouTube and find somebody who can give their quick version instead of even studying the whole material. It worries me, but I get it. So the lessons that about like teamwork, for example, are there some lessons or themes that stories, movies, on social media, they keep coming back to the same stories, right? And one of those is like teamwork and how important that is. How have you learned about teamwork in a different context? There's school, there's sports, there's other spaces, but things like teams and working in teams, how have you developed an appreciation or a view on how teams should operate?
I think from a school setting, our engineering class focused a lot on group work.
Okay.
This whole year, actually, we had two big projects where you need to collaborate with a few classmates to make your own invention to solve a specific problem to you and your partner. And can you repeat the question again, please?
Yeah, I was just asking, like, how have you developed an appreciation for teamwork in different parts of life, school, sports, etc.?
So specifically for the engineering designs, it became like very present quickly that this wasn't something that I could be by myself.
Okay.
Every class that maybe my partner was sick or absent, like it became like very stressful because there were deadlines and timelines for like every step of the project.
Right.
It was broken down into steps for us, but there were lots of like quick deadlines, it seemed. And without my partner, it was very challenging to get all of the work in. And for my specific partners, I definitely gained an appreciation for what they had to offer.
Okay.
Because I feel like each one of my partners had something that they could do maybe better than me. And we could always split the work to kind of achieve our common goal together.
Okay.
In a better way than we could have ourselves.
Okay. And what other spaces were you working with teams in?
So the project had both a physical and digital.
Okay.
Digital like completions that needed to be done. So we were making the website and documentation for our physical project, but also a lot of the planning for our physical project was online as well.
Okay.
So it was really helpful to kind of have someone doing the manual and another person can document it while they're doing it.
Okay.
So it just made it a lot easier to...
So did you build that team with considering everyone's skills, or just you picked your friends to be the team?
Yeah, I just picked friends.
So did everyone have the skills to do their part, or was it something that had to grow and evolve into?
I think for my specific project, at least, the online part was pretty simple. Just a lot of typing and, I guess, busier work. There weren't many technical skills required for it, so either of us could do it. But on the physical, we decided to code and rewire a system to kind of work the way we intended it instead of the way it was officially like built to function. So I definitely had to rely on my partner a lot more than I thought I would.
Oh, okay.
Because they'd taken a few classes that I hadn't taken.
Ah, I see.
Okay. And yeah, they definitely had a step up on me in those aspects.
Okay. But at the end, the team effort paid off.
Okay.
Is there something I was thinking about, like, as you probably know, as you go through life, that it's not a one-man show. You have to build a team around yourself for you to be successful. And I've always wondered how you pick that team. Like, as you said, people have certain skills or experiences that you don't have. You have to bring them in. But is that something that you're consciously thinking of already as you go into college? Or, you know, hey, how am I about to find the right people to be with so that we can move together? Is that a deliberate thing that you're really thinking of, or just it will happen based on who you meet, you'll make it work somehow?
I think one thing that I definitely keep like in the front of my mind about teams is kind of the team chemistry. So like whenever I have the choice to make teams, I definitely prefer being on teams with people that I'm closer with, because I feel like just knowing them and them knowing me allows us to work more efficiently. Even if, say, someone else has greater skill, I feel like us working together helps us rival that of someone with maybe better skills.
So that's interesting. So, okay. So if you had your choice, you would pick your teammates, people that you already know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You're a sports person, so that doesn't always work, right? So then in a situation where a team is picked for you, what's your experience in making that work out? Or how do you approach a situation where you don't pick the team is picked for you, but you have to find a way to make it work? How has that gone right, and how has that gone wrong?
So I guess I can use my club team for an example, because I moved to the team in the middle of the season last year.
Okay.
And I just kind of jumped into a role, and I wasn't necessarily sure of what my teammates wanted from me specifically.
Okay.
Because I know people have preferences when they play sports. They'd rather receive the ball this way, or they'd rather I position myself slightly differently according to the way they would like to play. So I guess I just had to work myself in, and kind of instead of making an impression for myself immediately, I kind of had to fit the mold of the team at first.
Oh.
So that we could grow together as a whole team, and then I could start to branch off and work with my teammates as well.
Okay. So that worked. That's a positive. What about a negative learning? Something that probably didn't go right or the way you wanted it to go?
So coming off of the high school season, like the styles of play are just a lot different at times. Like certain teammates have certain habits, and sometimes I'd get stuck in that cycle of playing next to the other center back from high school. He likes to do this.
Okay. Yeah.
And then sometimes my muscle memory would say, oh, my club high school will also do this. Oh. My club team will do this, but it didn't always happen. So that kind of led to some mistakes here and there. But I think kind of my first mode of thought being to fit with the new team, it kind of helped me rewire my thinking in a sense to be more adaptive.
Okay.
Instead of reliance kind of on my old methods.
So as you move forward into college, etc., what are the things that you probably know not to do? So like a backwards question, but what are the things that you're going to try to avoid not doing? Avoid doing, yeah.
I think something I'll definitely avoid doing is kind of going in and thinking that my way is better.
Oh, okay.
Because I kind of like to think that with the information that I've seen and the research that I've done, I kind of like to think that my efforts have given me the best way to do certain things.
Okay.
But recently I've just been learning that other people have also, of course, done their own work. And I'm able to learn from them as well as I've learned from the things that I guess I've chosen for myself.
Okay, that might take us back to the beginning then. What if you're convinced that that person's way is just not the right way? Have you done that before? You had to convince someone that is another way to do things? Or, I mean, like really influence a different direction?
Yeah, like,
okay.
I guess I've come across in the context of like a teammate.
Okay.
They would like us to work together in a certain way, but it's not really working for the way that I play.
Okay.
So I think it's easier to kind of work with them until you find the point in the middle.
Yeah.
Which may not be in the middle. You may have to give more to their side, and they might be okay not going as far as they originally said they would. They'd like to maybe like a 75-25 split works for them, even though you thought they would want all the way to 50-50. So I think it's just important to see what they were thinking and kind of like work through from what you were thinking to what they were thinking until it works overall.
That reminds me of an old, I guess old by now, business book. You may have, may or may not have heard about this gentleman called Stephen Covey. He wrote a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And I'm almost sure the first one was that you should always seek to understand a situation, a person. Before you try to do anything, try to understand how they see the world. And as you said, as you adopt their perspective and then try to influence them, it's a much more trusting relationship rather than you trying to railroad somebody to do something that your way because you're in charge. So I'm finding it interesting that you picked up on that even without reading that book. Or does that, it helps to understand people first before you try to engage with them to force that or make them look at things differently. So kudos to you. You don't need to read the book. I should also ask you, I think I did at the beginning, but you're getting all kinds of advice. How do you know which ones to listen to and which ones not to listen to? Is there a filter you have that kind of helps you decide which is stupid and which one makes sense?
I guess I don't necessarily have a filter, but I think that all the advice I receive is coming from someone who does care and they would like to see the best for me. But I think maybe their idea of the best for me might be from the best for them. So
okay, what do you
like
best for them? Oh,
like they may be sharing something that worked for them.
Okay,
and they're trying to tell me to do that because it worked for them.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I'll just have to, I guess, see as I go and try maybe what they said worked for them and see if it works for me. But then if it doesn't, then I can still appreciate kind of their efforts and take what I can.
That's very, very wise that there is, everyone has a background and a story, and they're giving you their advice from their experiences and what they've seen. But I like what you said, that you'll take it and then filter it based on what you know about their background and try to figure out what makes sense out of it and then use it. But what you said at the beginning was that it's coming from a place of love, and regardless of who's giving it to you, they mean the best for you. So I do like that you've realized that all the advice, maybe some of it doesn't apply, but you can appreciate the effort to help you get better.
I like that. Good.
All right. On the sports conversation, I was asking about teamwork, and the other one that I think everyone is telling you, probably should be telling you right now, is about resilience. And you're going to get punched in the face by different things, and by things will happen that will disappoint you or frighten you sometimes. But there's the idea that you have to be resilient and keep pushing through, right? How have you seen that happen, like experience-wise, in sports or at school? Have you had those experiences already, or is this something that you're not ready yet for? Is this something that has happened to you where you've had to push through a problem or a situation to be successful? Are you ready for this next step?
So, for soccer specifically, I come into a few minor injuries, I guess.
Oh, okay.
In this past... this year, actually, I ended up messing up each of my feet.
Yeah.
And it took me out for a few weeks, but I mean, together, and then I'm taking me out for over a month, actually.
Whoa.
So it's definitely hard to get through, because as I'm kind of just sitting there icing my foot and massaging like some of the like damaged tissue, like I realized that like my team is playing in a game right now that I couldn't go to.
Okay.
Or they're training tonight, and unfortunately I'm not able to train with them. But I think it's just, even though I couldn't train my body at that time, it helped me to train my mind kind of to stay tough and kind of remember that I think mentally being strong is half as important as, or I mean, it's just as important as being physically strong, because I think if you believe that you're able to do certain things, then that means almost as much as if you physically prepared yourself to do those things.
Okay. I like that idea of mental strength. Is there a time when you thought that you weren't strong enough mentally and you had a bad outcome and you had to tell yourself that next time this won't happen to me? Have you had that experience before where you let yourself down and you taught yourself that lesson?
Yeah, so I remember, I think it was maybe our first or second practice for high school this year, but we were just playing a small-sided game with some mini goals, like 4-4 or something. But I remember I hit the post 7 times in a row. So I think the first couple of times I was like, oh, I'm right there. And then I thought I corrected it the next time, but I hit the post again and then again and then again. And then I was really frustrated. After hitting it like 5 or 6 times, I was really frustrated with myself, and I started to kind of put my head down because I just didn't think like a shot would ever go in. But as we move on to the next drill, it just kind of helped me to remember that, like, I'm here to get better.
Okay.
And to grow. So I think every chance and opportunity that I get, I can look to grow from it, and not necessarily to seek my desired result. May not be the most important thing in that interaction or experience.
Okay. So you're saying that the experience is meant to grow you, even though you may not be successful. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So I think, I know a lot of athletes love to say this, but you learn more from a loss than you do from a win.
Hmm.
So I think that like a win is always nice and it's always the goal, but I think when you're struggling or losing in certain ways, that can actually be better for you and maybe push you back towards maybe the grind for the win.
Okay.
In a sense, yeah.
Well, what's the biggest lesson a loss has taught you?
I think the biggest lesson a loss has taught me is maybe that it's not as important as I may think it is, especially from like a soccer standpoint. Because I know personally I hold soccer to be very important to me. And I spend a lot of my time training and playing soccer and watching soccer, but after taking an early exit in the playoffs this last fall for the high school team,
yes.
Like it definitely took me a while to kind of come out of that state of mind that I kind of like wasted my efforts and stuff like that because our team was so good and we were expected to do
right
like really great things in the state tournament, but at the end of the day it's just kind of soccer and I'm still learning and growing in other ways from soccer.
So what was the lesson in that one? That it was a disappointing loss, obviously. Mm-hmm. A lot of promise. But what was a big takeaway for you?
One of my teammates helped me learn that like soccer is at the end of the day it's just really just a game and yeah. We're trying our best to win, but a win or loss doesn't really define us and it doesn't say as much about you, or it doesn't necessarily like disqualify your efforts before. I know after we lost that game, a lot of the team was like very negative and downcast, but one of our teammates was able to still keep a smile, and instead of being one that needed to be lifted up, he was able to lift up a lot of our teammates. When I was talking to him, I think maybe the next week at school again, he was just kind of saying that he would have really loved to win. And he may love to win more than anyone on the team, but he knows that he was still able to learn from that loss and keep going forward.
I think I'd like to meet that guy. Only because that's probably the biggest lesson that people want young people to learn from sports, is that it's such a beautiful thing to compete, and especially when you compete against tougher people who are like you, they make you better. And maybe that's the whole benefit of just playing the sport, is to see how good you can be by playing against tough opposition. And you may win, you may lose, but the whole thing is meant to make everybody better by competition. And your friend is right that sometimes you can't control the outcome, especially in a game like football, soccer. It's such a tough game, it's a grind, and mistakes sometimes are very painful that you can't recover from. But the fact that you're there with your friends doing it together and suffering together, I think I realized that that probably is the memory you take with you long after you're much older, you stop playing. But the fact that you were there with your brothers playing and grinding it out and struggling and sometimes winning together but losing together as a team, I think that's a very powerful memory that for years and years and years, when you have your reunions and people get together, you'll remember these things even more than the trophies. So I like that. I like your friend. Good guy. All right. So let me wrap up this last part now. Another probably lesson from your experience is the idea of maybe just touching the community, right? You talked about building a team that will help you be successful. Things like community are I think are important for people to develop within a larger group of people who will advise you and help you and also encourage you when things are tough. How do you go about, at least as especially going out now, you're going away from home, from for the most part people that you're familiar with. What steps will it take to build a community around you that's going to be hopefully positive for you?
Well, I know going off to play soccer, it definitely helps because they've kind of built a community for me.
Okay.
Which would be the soccer team. And I know I'll be spending a lot of time with them through practices and maybe our morning like weight sessions and games and traveling. But for more personal things, I think kind of just putting myself out there and being willing to meet new people and have deeper conversations with them will help me build a personal, closer community. Because I know it's easy to kind of meet people at more of a surface level and not... Not really get to know them or have them know you. But I think since I'll be like moving out and really living somewhere else for the first time, it's important to build a new community and have those deep relationships with the people that I'll be close to.
Is there anything at trying to make sure you... Sorry. You mentioned checkpoints earlier about how you know you're making progress towards your goals. How would you measure how healthy your community is for you? And how would you assess a community and continue to kind of prune it so it works for you? What are the things you want a community to do for you?
I think one of the biggest things I'll be looking for is that I can still have like real friendships in my community, because I'm not necessarily looking for what people can do for me, but I think just knowing that there are people like close to me and around me that are able to if I do need it, I think it helps me evaluate like the community that I'm in. So yeah, I think just having or being able to make those new, like, but still close friends, especially in this first semester going off into college, I think that'll help me kind of evaluate my community.
One of the things that I remember doing is that or remember experience with my college time was meeting people who really changed my point of view on different things. Like, you come in with one perspective, and then you meet people who are just completely opposite to what you thought was the right way or the only way, and then not rejecting them, but kind of finding a way to, as you said earlier, understanding their position, and then as you have conversations, you kind of work towards some kind of middle ground, and then maybe over time that person comes over to your side or the vice versa. But just having a community that challenges you about sports or your perspectives is, I think, a very important thing to do. I think sometimes, especially now where we can form our own communities online, we can pick a group that is just only people like us, and then that doesn't really make you grow as such. So I would probably recommend, or maybe this is my old advice, is that don't reject people who are different from you just because they're different. Or they upset you, right? Or they're just plain weird. Sometimes those are the best people to kind of befriend and understand. And they can have you look at things differently, and you can also have them look at things differently too. But as I tell my friends, that my kids, that it's always good to be a friend to everybody, or have everyone consider you somebody that they could be friends with. I mean, you may not agree in everything, but I think the fact that you're open and warm will always help people to kind of warm towards you, and then who knows what happens from those relationships. So I know that you're set to go, and you're ready to do this. So good luck to you, you know, and then this next step, new adult going to college, going away from home, and their parents are very proud, you know. So and I know you do a good job for them. So thank you, Lucas. I appreciate talking to you, and appreciate understanding how you look at the world. It's you have a lot of insight that I was impressed by. It's really good. So I think you're well prepared. So you know, good luck and all the best.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, thanks, man. So that was my good friend Lucas Brunson, talking me through what he's gone through, learned, and how he's prepared for college, I'm pretty sure that he's going to do fantastically well. And I just wish him all the best. And thank you for listening. And ask you to continue to advise, give your insight, listen to people who are going out in the world for the first time as adults. Give them all the encouragement, give them some space to try things, but always be there to catch them if things don't go out, don't turn out okay. They can always rely on us as parents and guides to help them correct and move forward. So God protect you all and bless you. Thank you for joining us today, and catch you next time.